We've been talking over the last couple of weeks on the family of Like Precious Faith and how this in our church is what we consider our family, our spiritual family. There are people here that are kind of like your mothers or your fathers in the faith. There's people here that are your brothers and sisters in the faith. There's even here people here that are your children in the faith. And I have children in the faith now, people I've led to the Lord, or people I've mentored, or people I've tried to help teach and preach to over the years. I have many brothers and sisters in Christ, and of course I think of some of you in the auditorium this morning as kind of my parents in the Lord. And I'm very, very thankful for your influence in mine and my wife's, my family's life. And so this is our family. This is who God's given us. And we don't need any negative comments of the family that God stuck you with. But I am thankful for the family. Well, there's Ryan Zitterbart, but there is that in every church family, guys like Ryan Zitterbart. We are thankful for every person that God brings to the family. But in verse number 1 of 2 Peter chapter 1 there, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Because we are saved, because we had faith in God's grace and in Jesus Christ to save us, His shed blood on the cross that allowed us to be saved. The Bible shows us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we believe that every person that comes to the cross, every person that comes to Jesus Christ without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We do believe that every person that believes in the shed blood of Jesus Christ to take away their sins. We do believe that every person that calls upon the name of the Lord and believes on Him for their salvation, we believe that they're saved. And we're praying for any person that is here today, that maybe there's maybe you've been taught all your life that a person is saved by what they do. To kind of just put it in a one sentence synopsis, it is not by what we do, it is by who we know. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, what you do is important to God. How you live your life is important, but none of that can save you. I had a person tell me one time, I got saved because I go to church every week. And I said, well, what happens if you're sick and you miss? They didn't have an answer for that. We don't get to heaven by our church attendance. I've had people tell me that they gave a lot of money to charities. And I'm thankful for people that way, that we can feed the hungry and do a lot of great things when people give to charities. But that doesn't save us. You're not going to find anybody in the Bible that ever got to heaven by what they did. They went through by faith. They went through faith by the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you're here this morning, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior and heaven is your eternal home. I certainly hope and pray that before you leave here today, that you would make sure of that. It's very simple. The Bible shows us if we will show ourselves to God as a sinner, admit ourselves as a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory or the perfection of God. And the Bible says, because of those sins, the wages of our sin is death. And every person here deserves death in hell. Every person deserves what the Bible calls perishing. That's what we deserve. And because we are born of a woman a few days and full of trouble, the Bible says, we are sinners to our core. Not necessarily because of us, but because mankind is sinful. All the way back to Adam, the Bible says the first Adam fell. He knowingly sinned. He knowingly disobeyed God's commandment. And he was considered a sinner. And all the way through the bloodline of man has passed this thing called sin. And we are sinful from the day we are born to the day that we die. And so between the day that we are born and the day that we die, there must come a time where we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, to be our substitute, to be our payment, to be the Savior, to take away those sins. And so we are very thankful for the price that He paid on Calvary. He was buried, and 3 days later He rose again. And the reason He can be our Savior is because He lives, because He's alive. If somebody just died for you, the Bible says there's no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. There's no greater love than that. But if the only thing Jesus did was died for you, then you couldn't be saved. You are saved not only by His death, you are saved because of His resurrection. And so now death has no sting, and we have no eternal death, and there will be no eternal punishment, because there is one that came that conquered death. Not only died for your sins, but conquered those sins by His death, His burial, and His resurrection. So if you're here today and do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the most loving thing I could say to you today is to be saved, is to know for sure if you were to die today, today were your last day on the face of the earth. Don't trust what everybody else is saying. Trust the Word of God. Amen. Don't trust me. Trust the Word of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I hope that'll be what you take advantage of today. After we're saved, the Bible says we are handed a set of beliefs. We are handed what we call the faith. The Bible says we are to earnestly contend for the faith. We have a set of beliefs that we believe, not as Baptists necessarily. We do have some Baptist beliefs and what makes us distinctively Baptist. And those are wonderful things and traditional things that we love and cherish. And some of them are things that we necessarily, maybe in a different culture or a different day, they held on to. But there are different Baptist distinctives that make us Baptist. But more than we are Baptists, we are Christians. We are supposed to be Christ-like ones. We are Biblicists. We live by the Bible. The Bible is our rule, our faith, our practice. It is what tells us what the truth is. Thy word is truth, the Bible says. And so we've been handed a set of beliefs that God has given us called the faith. And we are to earnestly contend for the faith. We are to earnestly contend for what we believe in. We're not supposed to back down to the world. We're not supposed to back out. We're not supposed to give up. We're not supposed to give out for the world and the pressures of the world. We're to stand boldly for what we believe in. And the Bible calls that the faith. And there are people who try to pervert the faith. There are people who try to change the faith. There's people who try to preach a different gospel. But the Bible says we must earnestly contend. We must stand strong. We must stand fervently and earnestly for the faith. But the Bible says here that every person that has been saved has obtained something. You have obtained a belief. Not just a belief system, what we call the faith, but you have obtained a belief within you that God is able. That God, if you had faith enough to believe that God could save you as a sinner, that God could take you to heaven, even as imperfect as you are, God would save you. You accepted Him through faith, the Bible says. But the Bible says you have obtained something from Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit moving inside of your heart. You have gained and obtained faith, the Bible says. But the Bible calls it a like precious faith. Meaning, every person in here that names Jesus Christ their Savior has been given a spiritual muscle, if you will, inside of them called a faith muscle, called faith. And some people you meet have an amazing type of faith. They believe God to the hilt. They believe God for everything. They believe God. And you think, my goodness, that is great faith. That is amazingly strong faith. And we kind of unlocked that door last week where we said, you know what? The Bible says we've all got like precious faith. Everybody's muscle is the same size the day you got saved. Every person has that same precious faith handed to them. Jesus Christ, nobody got more of the Holy Spirit the day they got saved. I mean, you weren't some bigger party. You wasn't taken over by the Holy Ghost. You got given the Holy Spirit just like I was given the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says in verse number 5, it says beside this, beside that precious faith that you've been given, it says with giving all diligence add to your faith. And so we understand that some people have what we would maybe entitle bigger faith or amazing faith or strong faith. But it's not necessarily that faith. It is because they've added some exercises. They've added some weight, if you will. And it's worked them out to the point that their faith is stronger because they added to their faith. And we said these things. They added to their faith virtue, a holy boldness, a courage to step out and do something for God that necessarily doesn't make sense necessarily to somebody else, or you're taking a stand and people think, how can you take a stand like that? Or how can you believe that way? Or how can you believe that strongly? It says to add to your faith virtue, add to your virtue knowledge. Not only being bold about your faith, but actually knowing your faith. Actually have a knowledge of what you should believe and why you're believing it. The Bible says add to your knowledge temperance. Know what to say and when to say it. A temperance is what calms you down when you're heated up. Temperance is what backs you off from saying that thing that's going to cut somebody really, really deep when you don't need to cut them real deep. You just need to give them the two-edged sword that is able to cut in and out, as the Bible says, sharper than any two, is able to divide asunder. You trust the Word of God. Use the knowledge of God's Word. But the Bible says add to your knowledge temperance. Add an ability to discern when to say things and how to say things. It says add to your temperance patience. patience. How many could use a good dose of patience today? Good, because tribulation worketh it. So I'm glad you admitted that this morning. Get ready for some tribulation to work your patience. But we all want to see differences in situations. We all want to see things change in our lives, or we want to see people change around us. We want to see ourselves change. And the Bible says, add to that temperance that you're stepping out there with courage. You believe you're right in this area. You believe that you've got some discernment of when to say it and how to say it. But the Bible says you're going to have to trust the Lord and be patient about that. It doesn't change because you click your fingers. It doesn't change because you gave somebody a verse. It doesn't change because you prayed once. It doesn't change because you said it should change. The Bible says have patience. Add to your patience godliness. While you're waiting, keep doing what's right. There's nothing that bothers me more about Christianity than people who try tithing for 1 week. Well, it doesn't work. What do you mean it doesn't work? I tried it like a week. You should come to church more faithfully. Well, I tried it. I mean, I was there like 3 weeks in a row. Great job. The Bible says, add to your patience godliness. While you are waiting on your marriage to change, don't stop reading God's Word. While you're waiting for that job situation to change, don't stop coming to church. While you're waiting for your family to change, or your situation to change, or the church to change, or your ministry to change, add godliness. Do what is right no matter what happens. As the old children's song says, do right till the stars fall. Do right. If the mountains crumble, do right. Add to your patience while you're waiting on God. Oh God, I want you to change this. Oh God, I'm in a bad spot. God, I'm going through some tribulation. Have patience, and add to that patience godliness. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. And to that godliness, brotherly kindness. Godliness in the right spirit. Have you ever met any Christians who like to thump people over the head with their Bibles? Who like to play morality police? And they're going to tell everybody how to dress and what to listen to and what to watch and not do and how to do it and what to say and what not to say. We don't need morality police. They've got it within them. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. It is our job to be kind and loving, to speak the truth in love. See, the Bible, every chance we get, it says to forbear one another. It says to love one another. It says to be kind to one another. It says to forgive one another. Most of the time, the Bible never says for you to change one another. To tell somebody a piece of your mind. To get it off your chest to one another. No. Vent to one another. I have yet to find that verse in the Bible. But it does say, have brotherly kindness. And then it says to add to your brotherly kindness, charity. Love for people who do not deserve your love. Which is exactly the kind of love that Christ had on the cross. It is actually the same word as agape, the love that God gave for the church. The Bible says He loved the church and gave Himself for it. It is agape love. It is love that brings assurance. It is love that brings a benevolence. It is a love that I give to you like Christ gave on the cross because you did not deserve Him to die for your sins. And therefore, it says, add to that brotherly kindness, charity. Go out of your way for people who don't even deserve it. Give them the love of Christ. And that's what's going to change people. So add to your faith these seven things. And we've talked about those things one by one. But it says this in the next verse, in verse number 8. And for if these things, I don't think I have to go back through these things, because we just talked about those seven things. It says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so in entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. It sounds like Peter is keying in on these seven things over and over and over and over. And so sometimes we want to tell people, have faith, have faith, have stronger faith. God is able, God is able. But the Bible doesn't say, have more faith, have more faith, have more faith. It says, add these things. And keep yourself in remembrance of these things. And keep reminding yourself of these things. And don't become negligent about these things. What's these things? It's adding to your faith Not just faith, because everybody wants to talk about faith today. You watch TV for five, Christian television for 5 minutes, you're going to hear the word faith. Have faith in God. Have faith He can do anything. Well, you know what? There's people who are never going to get to that level of faith because they're not adding these things. And you and I will not get to the place where we believe God to the hill, that we believe God no matter what, that we're going to trust God with our lives, that we're going to trust God with our family. We'll never get there if we do not get these things in our life. And the Bible says, quickly, it says these couple things. It says if these things are in our lives, if you will put these things and add these things and make these things a priority, the Bible says it produces fruit in your life. It says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, if you have these things, the word barren means inactivity. If we say somebody's womb is barren, it is an inactive womb. So that word barren means somebody that is, if you will have these things in you, you will not be inactive. You will not be unfruitful. I don't know about you, but I want to get to know God more. I want to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ more. I want to see His provision. I want to see the miracles that He can do. I want to see Him do wonderful things in this church. I want to see Him take us further than we could possibly think right now. See, God says His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts higher than our thoughts. My goodness, how we haven't even thought what God could do in this place. You haven't even thought what God could do with your life yet. His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts higher than your thoughts. God is able to take in you and do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. But I believe if you do not add to your faith, you are not going to be able to see those things. You are not going to be able to go that direction by faith. Because in the moment, and somebody even admonished me this morning, I appreciate it. Man, I've had the best week of health this last week. God has been so good to me. Probably I couldn't look back within the last year and think of a week of straight health that I've had better than this past week. And I thought, well, you know, and me this morning, I'm like, well, you know, I don't know how long it's going to last. And the person almost punched me. I appreciate them not punching me because they're a pretty strong person. And they said, why are you doubting? You know why I doubt? Because I haven't faithfully added these things. You're not going to sit back there and muster up faith. Well, if I rub my hands together, I'll have lots of faith. If I close my eyes and pray, and I'm really, really sincere, I'll get more faith. No. It's adding to my faith virtue, and to my virtue the knowledge that if I would just read my Bible, I'll figure out that there's people that God healed, and there's people that God took further with bad health, that He gave His grace to them, and they were stronger in their weakness, and that because they had the strength of the Lord. And if I would just add to my faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and to my knowledge temperance, and to my temperance patience, and to my patience godliness, and to my godliness brotherly kindness, and to my brotherly kindness charity. If I would add those things consistently and remember those things and realize that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and I don't have to have perfect health, and I'm thankful for the health, and when I have the health, and when God has made me the way I am and done these things in my life, I can do all things through Christ because He's the one strengthening me in the first place.
Amen.
So all I have to do is rest in His things. Rest in His exercises for me. Rest in His Word. Rest in His provision for my life. And we can all do that if we'll add these things. The Bible said we'll be fruitful. Man, if you're frustrated with your family right now, you need to add these things so that your family is not inactive and unfruitful. If you're frustrated with a situation in your life, a spouse, a child, a work situation, a community situation, a neighborhood situation, a home situation, a church situation, whatever the case is, you name the situation. If you're going through those things right now, the Bible says you need to add these things. For if these things be in you and abound, not just, sometimes we get lists, and we're list people. I got to do this, 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 this. And I'm good at lists, man. If somebody writes it down, I say, it'll probably get done if you write it down. I can, it's so silly. I cannot even go to Walmart if my wife does not give me a list. Literally, three things she told me to get the other day. Three things. I got to the store and I'm like, what was that second and third thing? I lost attention. I let my attention span last the first thing. That's the only thing I got. Dog food. Okay, I got it. Dog food. What was that other thing? She had to send me pictures of light bulbs and pictures of stuff. I'm like, how dumb do you have to be for your wife to start sending you pictures by text? Get light bulb. Light bulb looks like this, Matt. You got light bulbs? Now walk down the aisle and get deodorant. Deodorant looks like this. Doofus. These things produce fruit in our lives. I look at people's lives and I say, man, I want to be a Christian like that. And you know what I'm really saying? I want faith like that. I want to add things to my life like that. I want to have peace in life like that. I want to have fruit in my life like that. I want to be able to trust God like that person trusts God. The Bible says you got to have these things. They have to abound. You can't just go by a list. You can't just have boom, boom, boom. I got seven things. I know them, man. I can repeat them to you. You got to add these things. You must remember these things. You must be living with these things. The Bible says if these things be added and they abound, meaning you're actually doing them. You're not just saying, oh, I believe the Lord. You actually believe the Lord. Well, I love that person. Charity is love in action. Charity is actually showing love like Christ showed us love and died on the cross for our sins. So the Bible says it can produce the fruit that we want in our lives. But the Bible says it also prevents, if we don't have these things, if we lack these things, look at verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Now that word blind, we would automatically say that person cannot see at all. How many have ever heard of somebody that's legally blind? They can still see some things. They might have to hold something close to their face, or they might be able to see in front of them, but somebody who has tested them said you are not able to see things afar off. That's that word blind. So it's not necessarily completely blind, but it's actually the word for opaque or like looking through smoke. You just can't see far. And sometimes people think because they go to church or because they do this and they're a Christian, they read their Bible a few times and they pray every once in a while, that they're a good Christian, that they're a believer, that they're really doing something for God. The Bible says the problem with not adding all seven of these things or doing them out of order or not trusting God for the order of things in His Word is when you lack these things, when you lack any of them, the Bible says that you cannot see afar off. You can't see things spiritually, what's going to happen. It's called discernment. Have you ever, we say around here, every time a unique situation comes up, we say, well, whatever we do here is going to set a precedent. Meaning, we need to look further than what's happening right now in front of us, this little situation. We need to see further than what's happening right here and dealing with just the situation, because whatever we do here will have repercussions down the road. And so that's what the Christian life is about. The Christian life is not about you getting through today. The Christian life is adding these things so that you can live afar off, so you can see things going down the road, so you can see how you should navigate this road so that it will end up the way that God wants it to end up. It's not just concerned about the things of today, but also looking out with discernment on the things in the future. It's kind of like back in the 1970s, there were a bunch of preachers in the 70s and 80s, and they had a choice, and somebody said, well, if you want to opt out of Social Security, preachers shouldn't be subject to Social Security, and so if you opt out of Social Security, you'll get more money now. Well, guess what they forgot? They forgot that one day they were going to get to 70 years old, and they were going to probably be a little bit tired of going to an office from 8 to 5 every day, and they probably need to relax a little bit in what we would call maybe a little bit of retirement or switching up their career to something different. And now they're 70 years old, and churches have their hands tied. And I know probably about a half a dozen churches that are paying pastors that aren't even in the ministry anymore. Because way back, they didn't get they said no to Social Security, and now that pastor's ready to retire, and he has not the health to be in the pulpit or to be in the church. And now the church says, man, we got to pay him this much a week. And now their hands are tied as a church. They can't even bring in a new pastor and pay him full time. You know what that is? That's not being able to see afar off. That's not adding knowledge. That might be somebody that's courageous to step out, but they didn't have knowledge. That's not a smart thing to do. I don't know what age the Lord's going to allow me to live to, but I guarantee you, I am not going to be able to preach until I'm 90. I'm 37 and feel 67 this morning. Now, I feel pretty good, but I feel pretty good at 67. And there's going to come a day where it's going to get old and I'm not going to have that ability and I'm not going to have that strength. And so just a simple example there that, yeah, we plan for today and we live today and we do what we're supposed to today, but we got to be able to see afar off. If you don't have these things, a lot of situations in your life are going to come up on you and you go, wow, I never saw that. But if you add these things, we can see things further down the line in the church and we can see further things lying in our marriage. And man, we got to be careful in this area, honey, because if we're not careful in this area, this could happen. And so we make discerning decisions. And so as we wrap up the message this morning, and of course, have a baptism this morning. We're excited about that. But if I could just say a specific thing to the moms today. Mothers, these seven things are so important for you as a mom. I know we're saying it's important for all Christians, but can you see what could happen in your home if you don't have these seven things? If you don't add to your faith these things, they're walking in into a home every day that does not have virtue, that does not have knowledge, that does not have temperance and patience and godliness. You can see that in your home, you are the setter of these things. You are the person who's out in front with these things. You are the person who sets the spirit in the home. You are like the Holy Spirit of God inside the home. If that home is going to move forward, if that home is going to have a good attitude, a good spirit, then your children are going to pick up on these things. So I put you in remembrance of these things. It's for your spouse. It's for your children. It's for yourself. It's for your home. So that the Bible says you can produce fruit. So that your home is a fruitful home and does not lack sight to be able to see afar off. We call it planning. The Bible calls it seeing afar off. Add these things to your faith. And I believe you will have a fruitful home. I believe you'll have a fruitful marriage. I believe that you will have a fruitful church. I believe you'll have a fruitful work time. I believe that you will be a fruitful parent. I believe you'll see it in your children. But you've got to add these things. I want you to go back this week in 2 Peter chapter 1. I want you to continue to look at these things. Not just so you know the list, but the Bible says so that they abound in your life. So that they're not just a list in your mind, but there's something that has lived out in your heart. Would you stand together before a word of prayer this morning?